So I want to talk to you today about going after lost people. That's good, huh, Peter? Going after lost people. And I've got a lot of sermon titles for this sermon, but let's start with that one. And what I want you to notice is this intentionality. Everybody say intentionality. When the Lord started to speak to me at the beginning of the year, one of the things that he shared with me is in our church, and this is probably true in many churches, but I'm just talking about our church, I sensed that we needed to be more intentional in what we were doing. We needed to be more intentional in reading our Bibles. How many know, recognize if you're just not intentional things, you know what? You can just, you know what? Recognize, you ever been non-intentional in cleaning up your room? You ever been non-intentional in cleaning, here's a big one. You ever been non-intentional in cleaning the garage? Somebody, anybody? See, there's things that are important, and those things that are important, we need to be more intentional about. We need to be very purposeful. And one of our callings, one of the things that God has called us to do is be purposeful in connecting people, going after, the sermon title, going after, you see the intentionality? Very purposeful, going after lost people. How many of those people, you know what, they're just lost? You know, suicide rate is like crazy right now. Why? Because people feel hopeless. They don't understand that, you know what, there's so many people, they don't believe in God. I mean, think about it. If you take the Darwinist perception of what life is, and if you follow really the arguments through, if you believe in Darwinism, and you believe that, you know what, this thing just happened just by accident, it's all just physiological, then, you know what, you start listening to these guys, and they'll tell you, you know what, no, you're just, you are just, you're just going to die, and when you die, you just die. This thought is, and even, watch this, and even the choices that you make are not really choices you make. These Darwinists, really, when you talk to many of them, they really believe this, that there's no real big difference between you and the toaster. The toast makes toast because it makes toast. And you do whatever you do because that's just physiologically, that's how you were made up. And so that's just how it is. How many know that breeds hopelessness? Now let me tell you the truth. That's not true. God made you. God designed you. God formed you. That's the reality. And so, but there's people out there that they don't know the truth. We could call them lost. They're lost in misery. They're lost in pain. They're lost in alcoholism. You know what? They're lost in, you know what? And now, you know what? We have the many very, 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 very lost people are running our government. How many know this is true? And so, you know what? They don't see any difference in, you know what? What's wrong with smoking weed? You know what I mean? Right? And so now they say, oh, no, that shouldn't be illegal. That should be legal. You know, I know people. I talk to people who are addicted to smoking marijuana. And they recognize that it is absolutely ruining their lives. I'm just telling you. And they're all out there. And the church has got to become more purposeful in what we're doing. We need to be purposeful in reading our Bibles. We need to be purposeful in prayer. We need to be purposeful in having an expectation of what God is going to do. Somebody say, my days ahead of me are my best days. See, that's purposeful. You're purposeful. You know what I mean? No, God is, you know what? God is going to do miraculous things in our lives. We have to be purposeful in inviting and connecting people with God. Purposeful. When I was growing up, I believe the churches as a whole were way more purposeful in focusing on people who weren't in the family of God and introducing them to Jesus Christ. We used to have these things, they were called tracts. And we would pass out tracts. And tracts were just these little paperback booklets that had some kind of story about Jesus Christ. And at the end, they would always invite people to accept Jesus Christ in their heart. Very purposeful. And that was very common for churches to have tracts and encourage people to pass out tracts. And it was just very common. But now the church has kind of gotten away from its purpose. Now listen to me. The church has become very, I believe the church has done a great job in really connecting this way with God. And I think that's a great thing. But understand your connection. If you're in the body of Christ, if you're a Christian, your connection has to be this way and this way. And many times we can spend so much time in developing our relationship here that we forget our relationship here. Now listen to me. And I would say those people who are really developing a relationship this way can't help but have a relationship this way. Do you understand that? Why? Because Christ is so in love with people that aren't even in his family. He loves people that aren't even in his family. Well, let's talk about some things. Write this down. Somebody write this down. Jesus is the answer. Come on, say Jesus is the answer. But I am the messenger. So, how many know Jesus is the answer? The Bible says there's no other way by which men might be saved, might become whole, might become healed, might become delivered, might be set free. There's no other name under heaven by which that takes place except Jesus. There's no other way. And you can try other things, and the world does, but I'm telling you, there's no other way except through Jesus Christ. He is the answer, but who's the messenger? You're the messenger. You are the messenger. My first point, number one, write this down. God is crazy in love with us. Did we sing that? Yeah. What's the words? The what? What is it? The song. The overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. We just sang about that. God is crazy in love with you. But here's what I want to make a point. He's in crazy in love with us before we were saved. How many remember life before you were saved? Okay. And you know what? How'd you look? How'd you act? How many know you had issues before you came into the family of God? Okay, I'm not saying you still don't have issues, but I'm saying that God is working through your issues. Here's what I want you to understand. God loved you when you didn't love him. God loved you when you cursed him. God loved you when you rejected him. God loved you. Listen, he was crazy about you. He's crazy about us. But understand this. He was crazy about you before you were even in his family. Now, what does that mean? That means that God's crazy for them. Crazy in love with. Think about it. For God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son. He loved the world so much. Before there was even, before they could come into the family of God, God loved the world. Romans chapter 8, verse 32. Look at it up on the screen. Romans chapter 8, verse 32. Look what it says. He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Paul's trying to argue that God is a giving God, that he'll just really has a capacity to give you all kinds of things. And in his arguing this, you know what he comes up with? You know what his argument is? Hey, what about Jesus? I mean, sometimes we get the image of God like our earthly father. Sometimes my kids will come up to me and say, hey, Dad, do you have a 20? And I'll say, no, I sure don't. The other day, one of my kids came up to me and they said, Dad, do you have some money? I said, honey, I don't have a penny. Amen. And it was the truth. I mean, I had some money in the bank. Amen. But I didn't have any money in my pocket. I said, I don't have a penny. Here's my point. My point is many times we get the same perception of our heavenly father than our earthly father. And Paul is trying to make this argument and he's trying to say, no, understand, God is a loving God. He is a giving God. And there's all kinds of gifts that he wants to give to you. How does he make this argument? He makes this argument by saying, wait, let me prove it to you. If he didn't spare his own son, if he gave that which was most precious to you, are you catching this? See, here's what I'm saying. God loved us with an incredible, crazy love. And he loved you before you were in his family. He loves those people out there. He loves the people that we passed out cards to yesterday. There wasn't one of those people that we passed out a card to that the blood of Jesus Christ was not shed for. Not a one. Amen? That's the truth. For God so loved the world. Even those who aren't in the family of God or will never be in the family of God. God's loved. Here's what the Bible says. The Bible says the sun shines on the righteous and the unrighteous. How many enjoyed the day yesterday? A beautiful day. How many know God gave that day to people who were righteous, but how many know God gave that day to people who were unrighteous? Amen? See, he's got this incredible love for all of us. Number one, understand God's crazy in love with us, even before we were in the family. Number two, understand this. The church must get back to our purpose. The church must get back to our purpose. Now, two things that are important that I want to make on this point. We can become intimidated with the anti-Christian opinions that permeate our society. We can become intimidated with the anti-Christian opinions that permeate our society. How many know there's some anti-Christian ideas, some antagonistic thoughts towards people who say Jesus Christ is Lord? Am I the only one who hears it on the media? I mean, you know what? I mean, get on the internet. Start saying that Jesus is the only way by which a man will get saved. I'm telling you what, you're going to find some antagonism towards your thoughts. Wow. Hostility. It's just a serious thing. And what that does is many times it causes us to be intimidated. Listen, I'm all into apologetics. Apologetics are a evangelism that you want to say it in a way that help people to receive things of God. How many know I'm into that? That's good and that's important. But understand this. understand this, that ultimately people are going to come to Christ, you know what, not based on a logical explanation, but because God is speaking to them and they're responding to God. Amen. Does that make sense? Joel has told his testimony, so I feel free to share it. But I remember when Joel came to Sozo, and it was might have been his first time. Was it your first time that you started just weeping and weeping? Second time. So it's the second time, and you know what? And he is just, they start to have praise and worship, and they're singing a song, and he just starts to weep, just profusely, just crying. What's going on? You know what? Let me tell you what. Jesus Christ is going on. He's connecting with a God, and he's recognized. You know what leads people to repentance, the Bible says? It's not in your smart, explanation. It is the love of God that leads people to repentance, the Bible says. And don't get me wrong. I think it's really important. I think it's really important to point out. I think it's really important to point out that, you know what, that if the earth was just a little, if its tilt was just a little different. Everybody say just a little different. If we were just a little closer, just a little closer to the sun, we'd all be burnt up. If it was just a little farther away, we'd all be, popsicles. See, I think those points are really important to make. I think there's logical points that you need to talk to people and know these kind of arguments. But ultimately understand this, that it's the love of God that leads people to repentance. Amen? And we can be intimidated with their anti-Christian mindset. Jesus said it like this, they persecuted me, they're going to persecute you. Listen, my hope is, you know what, there's probably 100 people here in just in the first service. My hope is that when we come to do this big catch Saturday, my hope is that you'll be part of it. Why? Because we've got to get back to our purpose. Our purpose, and can I tell you what? It's my second point in the second point. We can become so entrenched with ourselves that we forget how important others are. We can become so entrenched in ourselves. How many have busy lives? And we got stuff. We're going to run here and run there and doing this, picking up the dry cleaning and, you know what, and whatever, all this stuff. You know, got to get dinner going and, you know what, and all this stuff we got to do. And sometimes, you know what we do in the grand scheme, you know what it is? It's just stuff. It's just stuff. Out of all the things, all the important things that I did last week, can I tell you the one thing that I did that was, I got to be accurate here. The one thing that I did that was most important was my connection with God. But the second most important thing that I did last week was I was here yesterday, and I connected with people that didn't know Jesus Christ, that I looked them in the eye and said, I'm Pastor Drew. I pastor this church right across the street. You know what? And as I walked up the street, I had to say, it's right across the street from Home Depot, right next to the car wash. But I just want to invite you to church, you know what, tomorrow. And then the next week, we're having Mother's Day. It's going to be a very special, service. And we're giving a free gourmet candied apple to any mom. We just want to honor the moms. That was the most important thing the second most important thing that I did. And we can get so wrapped up, so entrenched with, selfie here and selfie there and how do I look here and hello? That we forget how important others are. Mark, can I remind you of our purpose? Mark chapter 15, chapter 16, starting up here on the screen, starting with verse 15. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's Jesus' command right before he leaves. Watch this. Watch this. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. Saved. They'll be not only the new birth, not only will they be able to be in heaven forever, but they are going to be healed. They're going to be delivered. Can I tell you what? Out of all the rehabilitation centers, all the people that are trying to get people off drugs. How many know we got a lot of people on drugs in America now? And a lot of people alcoholics. How many know we got a lot of alcoholics? A lot of people who are very, very lost and they're trying to get back on track, right? Can I tell you which groups are the most effective? And when I say most effective, I mean by far the most effective. The most successful in getting people off drugs and staying people off drugs. Can I tell you what groups those are? Here's what they are. The Christian-based groups. And here's why. Because he who believes and baptized will be saved. That means, yes, they're going to heaven, but it also means a lot more than that. It means they're delivered. They're set free. And you can sit somebody down and try to give them correction, try to give them guidance, try to give them steps to run on. But I can tell you, this is the number one step. You need to be born again. We need to get back to our purpose. Our purpose is to connect people with Jesus Christ that they might be saved. Can you say amen to this? Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Look at verse 19. For though I am free from all men, I have made myself a servant to all. I'm free. God has set me free. I'm completely free. But let me tell you what I've done. I have made myself a servant to all. Those people who came yesterday, you know what they were doing? They were serving these people that they were going to give cards to. Watch this. That I might win the more. Next verse. To the Jews, I became a Jew that I might win Jews. To those who are under the law, as under the law, that I might win those who are under the law. What's Paul? Paul's not saying that he's phony. He's just saying, hey, I want to connect with people where they're at. Yesterday I saw a guy, you know what, wearing a Dodgers shirt. I said, yesterday I saw a guy wearing a Dodgers shirt. He said, what did you say to him? I said, hey, did you see the game last night? Did you know that the Dodgers, you know what, threw a no-hitter? Why would I say that to him? Why? Because I'm trying to connect with him. Amen. I'm not being phony. Amen. Did they pitch a no-hitter? You know? Took them four or five guys to do it, but they did it, right? That was kind of a jab to the Dodger fans. Okay? Amen. That's all right. What's my point? He's doing this all. You know what? He is connecting. You know what he's saying? He's saying, people are important and I'll connect to them. Amen. Next verse. To those who are without law, as without law, not being without law towards God, but under law towards Christ, that I might win those who are without law. What's he saying? He's just saying, yeah, that's a hard thing to read. He's just saying he's going to focus on what he's going to focus on. He's going to try to connect with people. Next verse. To the weak, I become weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all men. Why? That I might by all means save some. What are we doing? We just want to connect with people. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, look at verse 5. You guys got that in the back? 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus, the Lord, and ourselves, your bondservants for Christ's sake. He's saying, you know what? We don't preach about us. It's not about us. It's about Jesus Christ. That's what we're preaching. We are, what are we? We're a bondservant. What's a bondservant? He's free, but he makes a decision, you know what, that he's going to stay with his master. That's what Paul says. He would start books, you know what, letters, and it would call himself that over and over and over again. Next verse. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Next verse, watch this. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. So, Pastor, what does that mean? Here's what it means. You're all jacked up. Amen? So, Pastor, I don't think that's what it's saying. That's exactly what it's saying. It's saying that what happens is when somebody knows how messed up you are and how messed up you've been, but they see God inside you changing you from the inside out, and they know you're not as good. They know you're not as good a husband as you're acting. Hello? Like, how in the world can you be behaving like this? They know you're not as good a wife as you're acting. They know you're not as good a father as you're being to those kids. They're seeing it, and they know your past history. They know how messed up you were, and they're seeing something going on. And you know what those people are going to say as you preach to them, as Paul's preaching to them Jesus? How many know Paul was a perfect example of this? I mean, what a scoundrel he was. Finding people who didn't agree with him and locking them up and taking even kids and children back and throwing them into dungeons and jails for just loving Christ. That's who he was. And Paul says, let me tell you what, I don't preach about myself. I preach Christ. There's this treasure. You know who the treasure is? The treasure is Jesus. And it's Jesus inside of you. And they're going to see Jesus inside you. And they're going to shake their head. And they're going to go, I don't know, man. I mean, for sure, you were like this. And now you're like this. Man, there's something about Jesus that must be real. Amen. That's what Paul's saying. Guys in the back, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and let's go to verse 26. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26. You should say, but Pastor, I can't. Remember when Moses was told to go to Pharaoh? And remember what his excuse is? He was like, I don't know. You know what? Remember this? Look at this verse. For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. Guys, God's not looking to use you because you're so smart. Nobody wants to say amen to that. But that's the truth. God's not looking to use you because you're so pretty. God's not looking to use you because you're so anything. God's looking to use you because it glorifies him. Are you seeing this? When I taught the evangelism class yesterday, I didn't say, hey guys, we're gonna do this over and over and over and over and over again, because we can't go out until we have it perfect. I didn't say that. Why? Because it don't make any difference if you don't have it perfect. And I'm not saying if you're part of the worship team, yes, you should play the right chords. If you're singing, you should sing the right notes. Yes, if you're preaching, you should be prepared. We should be prepared. It's one of my points. We need to be ready in season and out of season. But here's what I'm saying. Stop looking for perfection. Amen. You look, a perfection is the enemy of doing something for God. Because you're always waiting. It's just an excuse. You're not perfect. That's why God can be glorified in you. Amen. Because it's about Him. Is this making sense to anybody? Don't worry about you're not pretty. Don't worry about you don't speak good. Can you smile at somebody and say, hey, I wanted you to come to our church. We've got an awesome church. And by the way, we're giving mothers a free gourmet candy apple to any mother who comes. Can you say that? I believe you can. See, can I tell you what? We can make, you know, one of the sermon titles, I titled this sermon like 8 different things. One of my sermon titles today was, you can change the world. You can change the world. Well, yeah, but not what? Hey, it's, let me tell you what is in you. What is in you is the treasure. Amen. Yeah. Jesus is in you. That's the hope of glory. The world has it. You know what? You know what God's plan is? You're God's plan. Amen. If I could have passed out little mirrors and put them in the bulletins, I would have passed you all out a little mirror. And you would, I'd say, look in the mirror. Say this. I'm God's plan. Matter of fact, act like you have a mirror. Put it in front of you. Everyone, act like you have a mirror. Everyone, act like you have a mirror. Look in the mirror. Say, I'm God's plan. You're God's plan. You're the only plan. You're God's plan. You say, yeah, but I can't speak, but I can't be. Listen, don't sell yourself short. It's not about you anyway. It's about Christ in you. That's the truth. What's your calling? Can I tell you your calling? Your calling is to introduce men to Jesus. That's what we did yesterday. You have the ministry, the Bible says, of reconciliation, to reconcile man to God. That's what we were doing yesterday. Why did God pick Israel? The Bible says in Deuteronomy, He didn't pick them because they were so many. Imagine, He picks one of the smallest nations on the face of this earth, and He delivers that nation from the hands of the most mighty nation on this earth. And watch this. And not only does that, but destroys the whole army. How many know what people are saying? People aren't saying, man, those Jews are mighty warriors. You know what the Jews did? Here's what the Jews did. The Jews looked over the fence and said, hey, can I have all your stuff? This is what the Jews did. Okay, can I have all your stuff? I don't want just give me the expensive stuff. Give me the gold and all that stuff, silver. Can I have all that stuff? And then they walked, and then they walked away, and they followed Moses. That's what they did. They did walk through the Red Sea, which how many know that took trust in God? And then when they got through the Red Sea, God closed the Red Sea. When He closed the Red Sea, who did He close the Red Sea on? The Egyptian army. See, God's not looking to use you because you're mighty, because you're strong, because you're good looking, because you're intelligent. God's looking to use you because you will love people that He loves. God is looking to use you because you have the answer inside of you. That's why He's looking to use you. Are you learning something? Amen. Number 3, the church is a training center. And God has the plan. The church is the training center. God has the plan. If you don't know God's plan, look on over on the wall. We have it right on the wall. Here's the plan. Everybody say, the church is the training center. This is where you get trained. Here's God's plan. Here's what He says. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to come. I want you to hear. I want you to do. That's the plan. That is the plan. To have people, have solid lives, people who are, you know what, smoking too much and drinking too much and sexing too much. How many know if you're married, you can't sex too much? Somebody say amen to that. Amen. Guys, I should get a big amen out of you. Amen. Just trying to be real with somebody. Okay. But here's the reality. I'm not talking. I just need to put it in parameters, okay? But how many know people are doing all this stuff and they're miserable? And you have the hope of glory living inside of you. And all you have to do is come here, be encouraged. You can do this. You know what? Come here and then go out and do. Amen. That's it. That's the plan. That is the plan to get people's lives solid. They come and they hear and they do. That's God's plan. He's not coming up with a new plan. His plan works. Number four, and notice where most of this gets done. Notice where most of this gets done. I'm not saying there were times where the healing power of God was manifest in the temple, because there was times that it was. But what I want you to take note quickly is where it is done most the time. Most of the time, let me give you a couple examples. Jesus is walking in the streets of Jerusalem, and there's a funeral procession going by. It's just in the streets. It's there that he raises up that person from the dead. Amen? It's when Peter and John are going to church, but they're not in church yet. They're in front of a gate. It was a beautiful gate. It's called Gate Beautiful. It was in the streets that they raised that guy up. Are you seeing this? It's at the pool of Bethesda. It's not inside. It's not in it's not inside the church. It's outside of the church that Jesus goes and he speaks to that man who'd been sick for 28 years. It is in the midst of somebody's home that they lay that guy down from the top of the roof, tear the guy's roof off and lay him down. And Jesus says, pick up your bed and walk. It is, watch this, it's in jail that we see the power of God manifest, and the prison guy, see, these are just normal people. The prison guy thinks I am dead, and he thinks I'm literally dead because I didn't have anything to do with this, but the Romans are going to come in, they're going to say, you were in charge, and off with your head, and I'm dead. And he starts freaking out. And the apostles say, hey, whoa, you're not dead. Nobody's gone. Check it out. Nobody left yet. They get him saved. And his whole family gets saved. See, it is where, listen, and I'm not saying this, everybody say, this is a training center. And listen, I'm not saying that there's not times that you can come and you can be healed here and you can be touched here and miraculous things can happen right here, right where you're at. I'm not saying it can't happen here. And I'm not saying that it shouldn't happen here. It should happen here. This should be a place of healing and wholeness, and supernatural things should be taking place right in our midst. But please understand, notice where it's happening. It's happening out in the streets. This is the training center. This is the place that you are to come. And then you are to hear. And then you are to go out and practice it out there. Ya ba ba da ba ba. Ba da ba da ba ba ba. What? I say a little prayer for you. I said, Pastor, what in the world? You're right in the middle of preaching, and all of a sudden you start doing our work. Hey, what are you talking about? Here's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about, can you, you know what Paul prayed? He said, pray for me that I would speak the things that I ought to speak. You know, he recognized, I can be intimidated. You can be intimidated too. See, what could happen to Hope Community Church if if when you were at lunch at Denny's, you saw, Paul says, we don't see people from a carnal point of view anymore. We see people from a spiritual point of view. What if that waitress who brings your pancakes, you want some good pancakes? Go to Denny's. They got awesome pancakes at Denny's. I'm just telling you. It's just freebie right there. Denny's got awesome pancakes. They're fluffy and delicioso, okay? You don't know what that means. It means delicious, okay? It's in Spanish. I'm multi a lot of things. Delicioso. But here's what I'm saying. What if when you're over at Denny's, it's more than just you, you know what, having a meal. It's more about you providing a meal. Can you simply have the boldness to, and I know it's weird. I know it's a little weird. But you know why it's weird? It's weird because you are so used to not doing it. Oh, I'm going to say that again. It wasn't weird for Jesus. Jesus ran around and he walked in the supernatural all the time. It wasn't weird for Jesus. Maybe it's weird for us. Maybe it's so out of... I like what one pastor said. He said, I've learned to be uncomfortable with comfortable. The point of Christianity, the point of the Holy Spirit, I found one of the points of the Holy Spirit is to push you out of your comfort zone. Amen. So what if, instead of just eating those pancakes, what if you looked at that waitress or waiter in spiritual eyes and recognized, oh my goodness, how many know that waiter or waitress is going to spend eternity somewhere? Watch this. What if somebody's been talking to them at a home, and you know what, and their boyfriend got saved? Her boyfriend got saved, and now her boyfriend said, man, I don't want to do the sex thing anymore, and you know what, I just need to separate myself from you, and you know, with the girl's thinking, what in the world, you know, is going on, and what if you are the eighth person in a line of people that are ministering Jesus to her, and what if you just said, you know what, I know this might sound a little weird, but I'm a Christian, and I make a point to pray for people. Can I pray with you about something? What if this waitress, what if her husband just gave her divorce papers? What if last night one of her child got in an accident and they found out their child was drinking? Not only is that child hurt, but now that child is looking at some legal issues. What if this person is on drugs themselves? What if this person isn't any of those things? What if this person is just miserable about life? Could you make a difference in their life? Could you be that vessel with this treasure inside? Could it be that God's intention for you and me isn't that we just come into church and say, hallelujah, praise the Lord, hallelujah, praise the Lord, hallelujah, I love Jesus. You know what? You know, it's like, I love Jesus. Yes, I do. I love Jesus. How about you? You know, where it's, and I'm not saying, you know what? Matter of fact, we might do that in second service. We might divide the church right down the middle, and we might just do that. Amen? Yeah. Amen. As the Spirit leads, right? But what I'm saying is, what if we came and understood our purpose? What if? I'm just saying. You say, Pastor, what are you? Are you trying to fill up that board? Busted, man. You fully busted my motivation, right? I'm busted. But can I tell you what? It's really not about this Big Catch Saturday. You know one of the reasons why I want this board to be all filled by the time we leave? We should fill this board ourselves just with this service. That's right. Come on. But you know why I want this board filled? Because what I know will happen to you is the same thing that happened to me. I was convicted sitting right where Mickey's sitting. Not that it's about you, but I'm saying. Not that there's not a special anointing right there on that seat. But I just so happened to be at that seat. That's all I'm saying. But I was sitting right there. And the Holy Spirit convicted me and said, how many people did you invite to church last year? And I was embarrassed with the number that I came up with. And he said, I'm going to give you a plan, and I want you to execute that plan. Yeah. See, it's not about us. Let me talk to you about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will convict, in not in a judgmental way, but in a loving way. Can I tell you what? For those of us who are not doing what God has called us to do, you're miserable in yourself because God is calling you to do great things for Him. Amen. But when I started getting out there in the community and started talking to people and looking at people, yesterday I was out there and there was a guy and he was working on his car. Why he was working his car in the parking lot, I have no idea. But I'm not that, you know what? But I'm not out there to judge people. We get so judgmental of people. I'm not out there to judge people. I'm out there to bless him. Amen. So I was talking to him, and he was like, I said, hey, I'm Pastor Drew. And he's working, and I know he's working. What are you doing interrupting? But I felt the Holy Spirit calling me over there. So he's under the car. I'm saying, hey, hi, you know, hi. You know, I said, which is weird. Pastor, that's weird. I know, but we got to be led by the Spirit. I was like, hi, I'm Pastor Drew, you know, from Hope Community Church. And we're giving him, so I go through this. We're giving them Mother's Day a free, you know what, gourmet apple. And we just want to invite you to church. And he said, you're Pastor who? And he kind of started to scoot out. He said, you're Pastor who? I said, I'm Pastor Drew. And I pastor this church right over here. You know what? You know? I said, it's nice to meet you. You know what I mean? No, I'm just joking. I didn't say that. Yeah, we have Dr. Seuss books for everybody who comes for the first time. I didn't say that. I'm just joking. Okay, so here's my point. My point is, you know what? As I started to talk to him, you know what? I connected with him. People are hurting. And who am I to say how many cards I passed out, and I didn't have lengthy conversations, but we pray over this course that the Holy Spirit didn't convict and encourage just through passing out a card. Peter just walked by, and just the shadow of his touching people healed people. See, here's what I want. I want that board filled. I want this place packed on Saturday. I want us to go out there and pass out all these cards. But more importantly, I want to happen to you what happened to me. I started falling in love with people who were lost. I can't not go on a Saturday. See how many know God uses imperfect people. I can't not go out on a Saturday. I can't. One day when we had Armstrong here and I was really busy, and we were. I was going home, and I just remembered, oh, my goodness, I need to pass out cards. I went in the parking lot, and you know what? At AutoZone, I said, hey, you know, left the air conditioner on. I said, hey, Armstrong, I'll just be 5-10 minutes. Passed out cards. I can't not do it. My suggestion is you can't not do it. Not if we're going to fulfill what God's called us to do. See, here's what it's saying. The Holy Spirit, he doesn't convict to get you to go, wow, that was an awesome sermon. You know what I mean? Wasn't Pastor Drew funny and powerful? It was mighty and the Spirit of God moved. Ooh, it was so good. That's not the purpose. The purpose is to get you to do. That's the purpose of the Holy Spirit convicting. Does that make sense? Yes. Nothing changes through the conviction. Does that make sense? Yeah. Oh, Richard, I was going to buy you a In-N-Out burger yesterday. You know what I mean? You know, hey, you know what, Joel, I was going to buy you, you know, Tommy's on Tuesday. You know, hey, Mickey, I was going to buy you Mario's on Wednesday. Who cares? Amen. I was going to, and they're like, well, bring it on, pastor. Can I tell you what? That's what the Holy Spirit's saying. Conviction for conviction's sake is actually harmful. All right, praise God. Are you excited?
Thank you. I've shared before when I met Pastor Drew. It's interesting. I don't think we realize how significant we can be in helping people come to know the Lord. We have disciples. You know what they do? They make disciples. If you're a disciple of Jesus Christ, we ought to see disciples being made around you somehow. Let me just walk through my own experience a little bit. One of my greatest regrets is that I never had a conversation with my father to find out what something meant when he said it to me one day. I was recently a Christian, recently born again, and I went home to visit my family who lived in Chicago, and I'll never forget my father saying to me as I crossed through the living room one day and we were talking, he said, I want what you have. I had no idea. I've often wondered, what did he see in me? What was he talking about? My father, on my wedding day, my wedding day was on a Saturday. We were children's pastors, so we were in church on Sunday, and we left for our honeymoon on Monday. So that Sunday, when we were in church, my father was here from Chicago because he was at the wedding, of course, on Saturday, and he went forward, and he accepted the Lord as his Savior that day. I never asked him, what did you see in me? See, there can be, people have testimonies. I was completely addicted to cocaine, and then I, you know what, encountered the Lord, and then they clean up their lives. You see, now you could see that. You know what I mean? Like that, we all go, yeah, I've seen people like that. I don't know what he saw. I've often maybe joy, maybe peace. I don't know. You know what? I wouldn't have thought that I was not a joyful person before that. You know what I mean? But there was something that he clearly saw. Because believe me, when my dad walked down the aisle day after my wedding, they like had to pick me up off the floor. I was just in shock. You know what I mean? I was just in shock. That is not my dad. You know what I mean? And he was like not... When I became born again, everyone wasn't home going, yay, praise the Lord. No, that's not what was happening in my family. So it was just interesting. So what did he see in me? I don't know. I also have friends who just didn't really thought that the church, all the church is about is about getting your money. That's what church is about. Got to be careful for those people on TV, and you got to be careful for churches because all they want is your money. But after encountering my Christianity for several years, not only were they in church, but they were tithers. What happened? I asked them one day, I said, whoa, you tithe? You know, because I knew what they felt. And they said, yeah, we watch you and Drew, and there's got to be something to this. So they saw the blessings of God. They saw just God move in different places in our life, and they're like, dang, that thing works. See, they're seeing that someone's a disciple. See, disciples do things, don't they? Disciples live their life a certain way. And because we do that, what happens is people see the blessings of God in our life, or they see Jesus Christ in our life, and we make disciples because they see our witness, and they are drawn by the Spirit of God. Have you experienced that? I heard we need to be on point with our relationship with the Lord. And I think sometimes we get kind of, it's so simple, really. It is so simple that this process, as long as we're authentically in it, it just kind of naturally almost happens as we're pursuing Jesus Christ. It can't help but happen. When I met Pastor Drew, and I don't know, I mean, I've told you before, I'll never forget the day when he left Newport Beach to move back up to La Puente. And it was a head scratcher, because I knew, whoa. You know what I said? You guys, some of you know what I said. I said, who is this God? Now, I was born again at that point, and I was in my first year of my relationship with the Lord, probably. Maybe my second year, but young in the things of God. And I saw him just fully committed to what he heard God telling them to do, which I didn't even understand that concept. But as he left everything that meant something to him, and I just thought, wow, who is this God? Who is this God? It made me, his commitment to Jesus Christ, the fact that I'm watching it made me just want to know who God was more. It's like to really press into who is God. What pressed me more into the things of God? His commitment. He was just sold out. There was not compromise in him. And that impacted my life. Can each one of us say that? That's how we're doing our life. I'm doing my life just like that. Yeah, all kinds of people around me are noticing. I mean, and sometimes we hear it and sometimes we don't, but we know, you know what, whether or not we're walking that walk. Does that make sense? We need to just be in love with Jesus completely ourselves. And as we do that, as we're just having our relationship with him, you know what? Anything that's of God is good. And when we're doing God, believe me, you know what? People are going to see it. Remember my roommate used to always, when I was dating him, my roommate used to say, that guy is so lucky. She used to call him Drewby. Drewby's so lucky. She saw the blessings of God in his life. People are watching whether we ever hear them articulated or not. So how good of a witness are we? You know what our job is? We want to quickly, especially you talk about evangelizing and reaching people, there's almost like this wrong example out there that we're going to talk to them, correct them. We're going to talk to them, that's sin and you shouldn't do that because God doesn't like that. Is that what we're supposed to do? We're not supposed to do that. We're supposed to love people. We're supposed to, you know what, just have our relationship with God and just be completely in love with him. That's what we're supposed to do. If we would do those two things well, it's amazing what a little evangelist you would become. Because you would really end up having a heart for people where just this simple act, you know what, it's very rare if you ask someone, can I pray for you? Very rare that they'll say no. Very rare. People are really open to a prayer. And so if all you did was be kind and care, you know what, to say, you know what, hey, my name's Mickey. You know what, I just want to know, I've really enjoyed today with you. You know, can I just pray with you for a second before I leave? I'm a believer, or I'm a Christian, and I'd just like to pray with you. Can I pray with you? That simple thing to just introduce yourself, whatever the setting is, she could be in a grocery line. She could be in the grocery line and some lady said, oh, you can go ahead and go first. You know what? Or maybe she did that. But just something simple like that. And then just, you know, to say, you know what? You know, before I go, you know what? Can I pray for you? Is there anything I can pray for you for? I'm a Christian and I believe in the power of prayer. Can I pray for you for anything? You'll be amazed the doors that will open for you. Just that simple thing. And that's a very loving act. If I was a parachute, this is the last thing I want to say. I was sitting there and the Lord gave me this analogy. If I was a parachute maker, I have a company, and what I make is parachutes, is what I do. And these are the best parachutes in the universe. Top of the line, top notch, never will fail. And we're going to do a jump together. But I said, oh, no, I don't jump. No, show me your parachute. No, I don't do that. If I've got my super duper parachute on and I know that it's the best parachute in the world and I make it and I totally believe in this parachute and I'm not afraid of heights, can I just say that? So because you all right away, we're going, she's probably afraid of heights. No, I'm not afraid of heights. But I said, no, I won't do that. No, I won't give you a demonstration. What do you think? Do you think I would really believe? Do you think I really believe in my parachutes? Well, if we're believers and we're slow to pray for people, slow to never to pray for people, as we encounter them all day long with all kinds of situations, do you think we really believe in our God? Do we believe what we say we believe? I wonder if they think that. How much, don't you think that would be an incredible witness to them if all of a sudden there's this army that is released that is out there praying for people's situations, asking God to show himself mighty in their lives? Don't you think that would be powerful? Isn't that a basic of our Christianity, is that we take things to prayer? I think that we would see a lot of fruit from that if we would just begin to believe God enough that we would take that first step of faith and just believe for something. We've been in situations before, and we love God, and we believe God, but, you know, when you're going through something, sometimes it's so awesome. Can I tell you how awesome it is when you're going through something to have someone who's not going through it who will just have some confidence for you? You ever been in that place? Remember that? Man, we have been in some situations where we're in the struggle and the trial, but to have another believer who was just, they too knew the word. And as we were talking, well, you know what, Pastor Drew, tell me, let me just pray for you guys. And then they would begin to pray. And as they're beginning to pray, it's like, yes, yes, you know what I mean? And they're just confident. They're like, you know what, God's word says this, and that's what's going to be, and da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And you're just like, oh, that's right. You know, A, we need the reminder, and B, how powerful is that? It's powerful just for our mind, much less what God's going to do with it. Amen? Amen. So let's begin to make sure that we're on purpose of making disciples around us. It's one of the things that Jesus asked us to do. Go into all the world and make some disciples. And the way we do that is by being a disciple. And disciples do this. just for the record. You can open up your Bible and see that's what they do. Amen. So that's why God is pushing us, do you suppose, that we would begin to pick this up in our lifestyle. Do you have something specific you want to just close in prayer on? No? Okay. All right. I'm going to pray with you then and just ask you, you know what, to just respond to, I want us to begin to not just hear what the Holy Spirit is saying, but respond to what the Holy Spirit is saying. Amen. Father, I just thank you that you are drawing us by your Spirit. I thank you, Father, that anyone who has just felt that pull and conviction, if you'll just put your hand up and say, yep, I'm hearing what the Lord is saying. I understand I need to be bolder. The disciples would pray for boldness all the time. Father, I pray for boldness for every one of us, Father, who knows that you're speaking to us, that's responded, and that we hear what you're saying. And give us boldness, Father, that we would just go out and be a greater disciple for you in this world, Father, that we would be able to witness to people who you are and what you've done in our life, and begin to just infuse you in their life through a prayer. I thank you for this. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.